This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
The F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show, filling your head with naughty feminist ideas since 2007.
You're listening to The F Word. The F Word is a syndicated show produced on unceded Coast Salish territories, Vancouver, BC, Canada, CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's cooperative radio station. For more information about the F Word Media Collective, you can go to our website at feminisms.org. You can hear our shows through that site, plus cooperadio.org, rabble.ca, archive.org, Pacifica Radio, and iTunes. And every week, we broadcast live from East Vancouver on unceded Coast Salish territory. I'm Carissa Raponin, and today we're airing an interview with Patricia Byrne, a member of the Disability Justice Performance Project called Sins Invalid. Sins Invalid is a performance project that incubates and celebrates artists with disabilities, centralizing artists of color and queer and gender-variant artists as communities who have been historically marginalized. Their performance work explores the themes of sexuality, embodiment, and the disabled body. Conceived and led by disabled people of color, Sins Invalid develops and presents cutting-edge work, where normative paradigms of normal and sexy are challenged, offering instead a vision of beauty and sexuality inclusive of all individuals and communities. The film was originally slotted to be part of the Vancouver Queer Film Festival, but the group recently pulled out due to the festival's role in pinkwashing Israeli apartheid. On the website called Pinkwashing Israel, explains the term pinkwashing refers to, quote, Israeli efforts to transform public perception of Israel from an apartheid settler state to a harmless, liberal, gay-friendly playground by juxtaposing this false image with a portrayal of Palestinian and Arab societies as backwards, repressive, and intolerant. The disingenuous invocation of LGBT rights by Israel and its supporters to divert attention away from its atrocities against the Palestinians is increasingly becoming part of the public debate around Israel and Palestine. By falsely juxtaposing oppressed gay Palestinians with liberated gay Israelis, and by flattening out relations of power and the political realities of occupation and the apartheid wall, pinkwashers aim to harness the global LGBT movement into supporting Israel at the expense of the Palestinians, unquote. That's a quote from the website Pinkwashing Israel. Here on the unceded Coast Salish territories of Vancouver, Queers Against Israeli Apartheid Vancouver have repeatedly invited the Vancouver Queer Film Festival, VQFF, to join an international call for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, also known as BDS, of cultural production that promotes brand Israel since the summer of 2012. At this time, the pressure was in direct response to the screening of two films the Israeli consulate had promoted as part of its global efforts to pinkwash its apartheid measures. This year, the Vancouver Queer Film Festival published a pinkwashing advertisement by the pinkwashing group called Yad Be Yad. As SPERG, an organization here in Vancouver at SFU, explained in their open letter to the VQFF, quote, Yad Be Yad is not simply a Jewish community organization that works to support and celebrate queers everywhere. Such organizations exist, and they are wonderful. Yad Be Yad exists to raise Israel's profile and reputation by promoting it as an especially queer-friendly nation. One excellent example of how it goes about this can be seen on Yad Be Yad's Facebook page, which includes a celebratory statement about Canada and Israel making the top 10 of the world's most gay-friendly militaries. Unquote. The call for the film festival to adopt a BDS stance, BDS meaning boycott, divestment, and sanctions, as I mentioned before, has only strengthened this year with groups such as the Radical Access Mapping Project, Cutie Pock Vancouver, No One Is Illegal Vancouver, Unceded Coast Salish Territories, the South Asian Network of Secularism and Democracy, SPERG, Tricone Vancouver, Salam Vancouver, Vancouver Latin GLBT Communities and Friends, Global Queer Research Group UBC, Desi Dialogues, all added their names to the pressure that Queers Against Israeli Apartheid Vancouver started. Furthermore, three films, Sins Invalid, My Child, and We Don't Want to Marry, have dropped out of the festival in direct response to the call for BDS. So the F-Words Pragya caught up with Patricia Byrne from Sins Invalid, one of the films that I just mentioned, was the first film actually to pull out of the Vancouver Queer Film Festival last week. Pragya talked about Sins Invalid's work with them, the decision to retreat the festival, and the links between disability, justice, and occupation.
Oh, hey, thank you so much for making time and for thinking of this for us. I'm excited.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for making time to talk with me. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to start, what is Sins Invalid?
Well, Sins Invalid is a performance project grounded in disability justice kind of frameworks and practices. And we've been around since 2006. We started off, you know, just doing an event one time. And there was so much traction that we, you know, it kind of just expanded and developed. And now in 2014, we have two different programs going. We call one a cultural program. And that includes the film about Sins Invalid and a semi-annual performance, which is a performance, you know, I mean, the performance project overall, we centralize disabled artists of color and queer and gender non-conforming artists with disabilities. And so the performances themselves center our experiences. And again, we're grounded in disability justice as a political framework and as a kind of daily practice. So, you know, the performances happen semi-annually because it is grueling to do, the work of an annual performance in addition to everything else.
Yeah.
And we have an artist in residence program. We have performance-based workshops that are led by artists, disabled artists, that are free for the community, and, you know, they happen several times a year. It might be a vocalization workshop, it may be a movement workshop, maybe a performance, technique workshop. But anyway, those are held, you know, several times a year. So those performance-based activities keep us pretty, you know, active, because part of the work with the film is really touring at universities. Festivals and movement building program, where we do capacity building for social justice organizations in terms of deepening their understanding of disability justice. And so that can range from like a one-time vertical education event to a long-term partnership. So, yeah, it keeps us.
That's a lot of work that you guys do.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really, I mean, you know, right now we're kind of on a long stretch because of the reshuffling around the film festival.
Yeah.
But in general, it's so gratifying because, you know, it's putting out what we want to see in the world. There, you know, you asked why it started. I mean, when Leroy Moore and I started it, there were no places where folks with disabilities were visualizing our work as you know, people of color disabilities or as folks with disabilities. I mean, really, the, you know, kind of disability rights world and the disability arts world is very, you know, it's very much a white-centered world, Euro-centered world, and, you know, in the racial justice world or, you know, in queer organizing, disability is often an add-on. You know, it's not central to the world. And we wanted, you know, a space where, you know, many, many, many of us live, maybe not, you know, out about it, but many of us live with chronic illnesses and various forms of disabilities, and, you know, and kind of keep that part of our lives separated out. You know, for example, Leroy and I both have done a ton of racial justice organizing, yet, you know, how often are we invited to bring in our analyses around ableism into the racial justice world, for example, right?
Yeah.
So, it's exciting to have a place that we can, you know, center multiple experiences.
For sure. And something else that I noticed about your work, I took a look at some of the videos that you have that are awesome, like the one about the sexy shitting. And it just kind of got me thinking a lot about how sometimes when I've kind of noticed, just as you're talking, that when I've been to events that are kind of racialized or focused on racialized communities or on queer communities, if somebody with a disability is there, they're only invited to talk about the disability. It's nothing else. But Sins Invalid seems to stretch that a little bit and talk about your lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think one of the most exciting things about the work is that it's really, you know, we ask our performers and we ask people that engage with us to be in an embodied kind of space, which means that we are, you know, kind of reflecting, you know, in the way that we work together, what it means to be in a body, that we take such things, that we eat, that we, our sexualities cannot be defined by our disabilities, just as a sexuality isn't going to be defined by our queerness, or our queerness defined by our sexualities. They cross and form each other, and hopefully, at least I think the sums are far better, added together.
Can you tell us about the film that you're going to be screening on Monday?
Absolutely. The film was, it was a beast. I'm going to be honest. As filmmakers, it's because it's the hardest medium we've ever tackled. The editing is arduous and painstaking, expensive, and I just have so much respect. We had over 100 hours of footage, and we trimmed it, and it's now 32 minutes. It's basically a short documentary that looks at Susan Ballard as a performance project, and explores the performance of itself through beautiful storytelling and footage that we shot at different performers. And there's some interview footage as well. But it's really capturing the performance and the power of the performances.
That sounds amazing.
I think it, for a film, because I'm really partial to live performances. There's nothing like, you go to a concert and, there's nothing like it. When you listen to the recorded album, it's great, but it's not the same.
Right.
And similarly with the performance, there's something that's special, that's energetic, that happens in the room where people are feeding off of each other, their excitement, their, whatever the emotional arc is of the performance, we're experiencing it together in the theater. And I think the film does a decent job at conveying that, so I'm hopeful the audiences tell us for sure about.
And there's been a lot going on with the film recently. You folks released a statement about how you've pulled out of the Vancouver Queer Film Festival. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We ended up pulling out because the Vancouver Queer Film Festival accepted an ad by essentially what many people understand as a pinkwashing ad, which literally laid the rainbow flag with the Star of David on it, on top of the Israeli flag. And, it was like Mazel Tov for, so many excellent years of programming. And they accepted this ad and published it in the hard copy of the festival program, concurrent with massacres. And I understand that there is some organizational lack of clarity and process that the QFF went through, and that's how the ad ended up getting placed. But there's also a larger issue of their need for accountability, that they've, for the last several years, been approached by queers undermining Israeli apartheid, and were queers against Israeli apartheid.
Yeah.
And the QFF did not really engage with them substantively, and they haven't really engaged with their education process around Palestine and the human rights violations in Palestine, and that's the broader context in which that ad was placed. And there's no way in good faith that we can participate in the film festival, particularly because they chose not to do anything with the hard copy programs. They're still going to distribute them at the festival. They pulled it off their website, but they're still handing out the festival programs with basically the Israeli flying high, which is really problematic for us. We see a direct link between the colonization of bodies and the colonization of land. And we have a strong sense of solidarity, as disabled people of color with the people of Palestine, becoming disabled through war, when basic human needs aren't getting met. Basic needs like water and the basic rights, the medicine, and safe walking down the street. Very basic human rights aren't being met. let alone, you know, for people with disabilities, you know, the, you know, kind of rehabilitation services and access needs that we might have.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're very clear that the Palestinian people are struggling against both land colonization, but also people's bodies are showing the direct impact of colonization and disablement, and those connections can't really be separated within a disability justice context.
Thanks for tuning in and listening to the F Word today. Today we're featuring an interview with Patricia Byrne from the Disability Justice Performance Group called Sins Invalid. Earlier in the show, Patty talked to us about Sins Invalid's performance project and their film. The group's film was originally supposed to screen as part of the Vancouver Queer International Film Festival, but Sins Invalid pulled out in order to encourage the festival to adopt a policy of boycott, divestments, and sanctions against the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Here is a second part of the interview with Patty.
It's so refreshing to hear of a group take such a strong stance on that.
Well, that's, I mean, I wish it wasn't an isolated thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's like, I guess a lot of people are still keeping disability in many ways a segregated idea and identity. But the trick is, you know, disability is in every community, right? But there's no way to say, if you're doing queer organizing, for example, you have to talk about disability because a lot of queers, you know, have disabilities.
Yeah.
If you're talking about economic justice organizing, you have to talk about, you know, poor folks with disabilities because, you know, there's so many poor folks with disabilities and, you know, we're structurally not allowed to work, you know, because of ableism and what is constituted as a disability. There's so many ways in which disability gets seen only as an individual condition when, in fact, you know, I mean, it's a part of the human condition, which means that all organizing should address disability, just like disability organizing should address, you know, all sectors, because disability is not, you can't organize disability separately in any way.
And I wonder, you folks are based out of the Bay Area, is that right?
Yes, yes.
So how did you find out about all of what was going on up here?
Well, we were invited by the Vancouver Queer Film Festival to submit our film. And we had already submitted our film to the Toronto Queer Film Festival, or maybe it's called the LGBT Film Festival there, I don't remember. But, you know, we'd already been to Toronto, and we have a lot of friends in Canada that have really supported our work, and actually two of our artists live in Canada as well. And so, you know, we have a lot of relationships there. You know, VQFF approached us, and we were excited, and the VQFF is a high-profile film festival, and, you know, we were very excited about it. However, you know, because we know folks in the community, we learned that the hard copy ad was in the hard copy program, and as soon as we heard, we contacted the Queer Film Festival, like, literally the same day I gave, you know, our contact there, our call, and, you know, voiced our concern. I do have to say the staff has been really great to work with.
Mm-hmm.
As a person with a disability, you know, as an artist, they've been very, very supportive, and I really appreciate the work that they're doing, and, you know, both with, you know, filmmakers and including disability in their programming. I do appreciate that they are in a hard spot, but quite honestly, I know they can do better, and I think that many of us expect that they do better. They are a high-profile organization.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they pride themselves on being grounded in social justice principles. You know, if this were a different film festival, we might have different expectations because, you know, if something is, you know, you know what you're getting into, you know what I mean? If you're getting into a mainstream, you know, corporate film festival, if one chooses to do that, you know, that's, you know that you're going to be in a position of potentially having to compromise. But really, I'd hope more than that from them.
I think you said it really eloquently, and really, I think you said something really important when you said that you know that they can do better. And it seems like there's a lot of backlash from people saying that, oh, this that Queers Against is really apartheid Vancouver and other folks that are deciding not to go to the film festival this year because of its pinkwashing. That's been going on for a few years now. And people are saying, oh, that's dividing the community or it's fracturing the community. But it seems like it's more holding the community to a higher standard of knowing that there's more.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, when we start saying that some people are disposable, and some people can be cast aside as not, you know, valuable, then that is a very dangerous political statement to be making. I mean, that clears the path for, you know, eugenics, you know, ethnic cleansing, genocide, you know, certainly as people with disabilities, you know, people that are solidly grounded in disability justice principles, I mean, we know all too well what that is, you know, because so often people with disabilities are considered disposable, right?
Yeah.
And we can't say that our Palestinian, you know, brothers and sisters are disposable. They're not. They're not.
It seems like you've pulled out of the festival at kind of a cost to you folks. You've had to find another venue. You've had to self-promote. How's that been going?
We had a little engine that could. I mean, you know, there's a little sleep that several of us are going to catch up on. You know, we've certainly lost some resources. If anyone wants to donate that listens to the podcast, I like the website. They're more than welcome to go to susanbell.org and press the donate button, because it certainly is, you know, costing a pretty penny to do all of this. You know, we hired on another person to help us out, who's been a great, great, you know, asset and resource. I mean, there's so many people that have been great resources, and we're trying to get as many costs as we can lowered or covered. A bunch of people, like our graphic designer, you know, is doing things for, you know, for pro bono, but hotels, really, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, oil companies, like, we have to drive up to Vancouver. We have to fly up to Vancouver. They don't care. We're not getting cost reductions on anything like that. You know, for people that are taking time off work to do this,
yeah,
they're not getting their paychecks, you know, recompensed. So, yeah, it is costing a bit, but, I mean, and this is what I was telling, you know, folks at the DQSF. I mean, there's a financial cost, you know, certainly when we take a political position at times. I mean, there can be a cost, but there's a far greater cost when we don't. You know, I mean, it's a far, far greater cost when we lose our integrity, and when we lose the trust of our communities and undermine our own principles and values. We actually can't do that, you know?
I have to admit, I got all kind of teary and choked up when I read your statement and found out that you were pulling out, because it was such a beautiful show of solidarity and alignment that is unfortunately not that common, but it's great to see, especially knowing that it's not an easy decision to make and not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. But again, I mean, I think when we hold ourselves in principle, you know, like it isn't easy, but I mean, what are you going to do? You know, like the choice is to, you know, kind of, I don't know, I mean, quite honestly, like a little hypocritical, you know, and that's a really big cost, more than any of us in Simpson Valley really want to bear.
Yeah.
And more than I think that wants to bear.
Oh, for sure. Have you had any feedback to that decision so far? Have you been contacted by anyone or people in your community?
Oh my word. There's been so many people, we're compiling them, that have been like, thank you so much for taking that position. And the first comment meant so much. Oh my gosh, I'd like to teary eyed. It was a person in Palestine. They were in Gaza and they commented on our website. And they said, thank you so much from the heart of our occupation here.
Oh, God. That just gave me goosebumps.
It was really, really important to read that, because it is hard to know. You know what I mean? What's happening in Gaza, people are so isolated, have such intermittent access to communication because of the intermittent access to electricity. You know, and there's so little word that can, you know, that was getting out. And, you know, like, we don't want people there to be isolated. So many people are becoming disabled and killed. You know, we don't want people to feel like they're abandoned, you know, as people being, you know, essentially surviving in occupation. And so it meant a lot to us. And this is just like our little effort, you know, I mean, really, I mean, it's great that we're doing this, but really, you know, it's nothing in comparison to, I mean, well, I don't want to get into the oppression game, but, you know, we certainly have a ton of privileges vis-a-vis, you know, countries that, you know, are being bombed by the United States.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And just to bring, just to bring it locally, I don't know if you heard, but there's a local woman who owns a Palestinian restaurant here, Tamam, who just found out that Israel has now declared her stateless, her and her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got far-reaching impacts because now daughter can't register for school and there's all kinds of issues happening with that. And that's one story and it's not the story of the people,
yeah,
like you said, that are being slaughtered.
And, you know, I don't even understand how Israel could do that. I don't know anything legally, but I certainly do know, as a human being, that's a vile tactic of war. We have actually been in communication a bit with, you know, folks that are trying to support the family and our hearts go out to them, and you know, I know they have a lot of love and support in the community, and, you know, and our prayers are with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Ours, too. Well, thank you so much, Patty, for talking to us about Sins Invalid and the film and pink washing and your stance on it. And I'm really looking forward to the screening. It's on Monday at 7.
Yeah.
It's on Monday, the August 18th, so today with the day that this interview will air at 7 at the Fletcher Challenge Canada Theatre?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
We're going to be asking for donations at the door if possible. You know, anything from, we're suggesting $10, but, you know, we can take $1,000.
Totally.
but, you know, we welcome whoever wants to come, and I think it'll be a really great program, because there are going to be a lot of really, like, super hot films.
Yeah.
That, you know, because our project is on disability sexuality, and films are going to be super hot, and there's also going to be a compelling discussion afterward, I think.
That's awesome, and it's all ASL interpreted.
Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much again, Patty.
Yeah, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the film.
Well, I look forward to meeting you in person and any of your listeners, too.
The F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show, effing up the airwaves since 2007.